Welcome to the Supernatural Life Podcast with Chad Gonzalez, a podcast all about helping you connect with God so you can manifest God to the world. Now, here's your host, Chad Gonzalez.
Hey friends, this is Chad Gonzalez. I want to welcome you to this episode of the Supernatural Life Podcast. It's our goal to help you connect with God so you can manifest God to your world. It is January 2022. We're starting off a brand new year. I trust that you all had a great Christmas and a great end to 2021. I had a great 2021. By far, it was our best year ever. Personally, ministerially, business-wise, it was just phenomenal. The last few days, I've been reeling, just looking back at the goodness and grace of God in our lives last year, and so just thrilled about all of the things that are coming up here in 2022. You know, we've got some great meetings that are coming up, and we would absolutely love to see you there. In just a few short weeks, we're going to be in Canton, Georgia. That's just outside of Atlanta. We're going to be there January 21st through the 23rd. So that's going to be a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday. We're going to have four services there. And when we were there last year, we had some great services, saw some tremendous testimonies of healing take place. There was a woman that was partially deaf in her left ear, and she was healed in the service. No one prayed for her, laid hands on her. There was lots of people that got healed, and we didn't pray for anybody. It just happened during the service. Just wonderful testimonies. And so very thrilled to be back there. Pastors Dave and Ashley Steinberg there at Dream Church in Canton. So we'll be there January 21st through 23rd. And then in February, we're going to be in Branson, Missouri. And we're also going to be back in Houston, Texas. I get to go back to my home state of Texas. And we'll be back at Houston Faith Church that very last weekend of February. So we've got more meetings that are coming up. We're going to be up in Wisconsin. We're going to be in Indiana. I will be in LaBelle, Florida coming up as well. So if you want to see all of our upcoming meetings, you can just go to the website. It's chadgonzalez.com. Go up to the menu there, and I believe it's a tab that says More. And if you click on that, there's a drop-down box with lots of other options, and one of those is our meeting schedule. And so you can check that out. We also post all of our upcoming meetings on social media, Facebook and Instagram, and we'll put those on YouTube as well. So if you can make plans to join us at one of these, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're expecting greater glory, greater anointing, greater miracles. It's interesting that last year, 2021, we saw more creative type miracles than we've ever seen before, and yet that's the thing that we're really pushing for, is for more in that area, because it seems like that's an area that's just been untapped in regards to our Christian world, in regards to healing. For many of us that believe in healing, it would be safe to say that we've seen a lot of people healed of arthritis, headaches, stomach pains, back issues, shoulder issues. It's not because the other things aren't available. It's because we have just allowed those things to become small in our mind. And so what is small in our mind, it seems like, doesn't take such great faith. And therefore, as a result, we see greater results in those areas. But I don't know about you, but I just believe it's high time to go further and go farther in these things. And that's what we've been pushing for. A couple weeks ago, it was Christmas, and our son Jake, he's 13, and just a wonderful, wonderful kid. And he got, of many of his Christmas presents, he got this one particular game that he's been playing and just been having a blast with it. But the other day, he got stuck on a particular level. And he kept playing and playing and just got stuck on it and couldn't go past it. And we were sitting there, and he was telling me how frustrated he was. And I told him, I said, buddy, don't give up. Just keep pushing. You know, you'll get there. And so he was just determined he was going to get past this level so he could level up and go to the next level. And ultimately, he was able to level up. And as I was looking at that situation, I began to think about us as Christians. And I want to talk to you about this today, about leveling up. How many of us are still on the same level that we were last year? How many of us are still on the same level we were a decade ago or two decades ago? we should always be progressing because there's always more to the things of God. And I think most of us would agree there is a greater anointing. There is a greater degree of glory for us to walk in. Obviously, we're not seeing the results of Jesus like we should be. And we know that. We'll admit to that. We've been hearing about the last great move of God for decades now. The great Smith Wigglesworth, he prophesied about it back in 1947. People like Kenneth Hagin prophesied about it. You can hear things by John Lake and E.W. Kenyon, people like that talking about these things, Lester Sumrall, Catherine Kuhlman, all these great men and women of God have talked about it. Do I believe them? Absolutely. Do I think God is going to give us something extra so we can accomplish it? Absolutely not. You see, we're to go from glory to glory. We know that there's more. But how do we do that? Is it through outpouring to outpouring? No, it's by faith to faith. In other words, we need to keep pressing, and we need to keep pressing. Why? Because it's not that God is withholding anything. If you were to go through Scripture, you're not going to find where God is withholding something and then going to, in the very last days, give us something extra special that he didn't give the prior generations or that he didn't give the early church. It's just not scriptural. Now, it makes us feel better to think that we're not the issue, we're not the problem, that we're not missing it anywhere, we're just waiting on God. That is essentially where most people are at. We're just waiting on God. We think we've got everything together, our messages is all together, and we're just waiting on God. We're praying and fasting and waiting on God to give us something extra special. Well, if we think that we need something extra special, then it must mean that Jesus didn't do his job, maybe? I mean, like, did Jesus just not give us enough? And think about how unjust that really is. Like, God's not an unjust God. He is a just God. But if there was something extra that God could have given the prior generations to reach people, if there was an extra that God could have given them to reach people and produce the miraculous and manifest heaven in a greater way, don't you think God would have done that years ago? Maybe, just maybe, it's not God withholding. Maybe it's possibly you and I are just missing out on revelation so that we can access what's already been made available. Interesting thought, isn't it? Well, if you look at Scripture, Scripture actually proves that point. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says this: every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a loved gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped up into Christ. The New King James Version very simply says, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been made ours in Christ. It's already been made available to us. You know, Jake, ever since he was little, we've talked about this verse before, and this is kind of the Chad and Jake version, that everything heaven has to offer is mine in Christ. That's the way that we translated that. Everything heaven has to offer is mine in Christ. It's already mine. And then you can look at John chapter 1 and verse 16. The Passion Translation says, from the overflow of his fullness, we have received grace heaped upon more grace. The New King James Version says, of his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. Notice that of his fullness, the overflow from his fullness, heaps and heaps and heaps of grace. That doesn't sound like God withholding, does it? No, you'll find that when God provides, I mean, when he gives lavishly, abundantly, excessively. It's always more than enough. Jesus didn't come just to give you a little bit. And then think about John chapter 14 and verse 12. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will do the very same works that I do and even greater works because I'm going to the Father. Well, friends, how are we going to do what Jesus did with less equipment? That doesn't make any sense at all. If I'm going to do what Jesus did, I need everything, and I mean everything that he had, especially if I'm going to do greater. I mean, that's just common sense. If I'm to do what Jesus did and then even do greater works, don't tell me I'm going to do it with lesser equipment than what he had. No, Jesus said in John chapter 17, when he was praying, right before he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying in the upper room with the disciples. And Jesus says, Father, the same glory that you gave me, I have given it unto them, that they would be one, just as we are one. Friend, you cannot be in union with Christ and not have the very same equipment that he has. This is why this subject, this reality of our union with Christ, to me, is so vitally important. And for me, it is the primary subject that any new believer needs to be taught right from the get-go. Because anything that's taught outside of your union with Christ, it's going to put you into a victim mentality. It's going to put you into a work mentality. It's going to get you outside of grace and put you right back into works. You can call it faith. You can call it whatever you want, whatever you're saying. You can say the right confessions and do the right things. But if what you're doing, what you're preaching, what you're saying, what you're thinking, if it does not come, if it does not stem from your foundation of who you are in Him, if it is not an outflow of your union with Christ, it is not going to work for you. And so this is why, even in regards to healing, when we teach healing, I'm telling you, it's coming from our union with Christ. That's what it's flowing from. I mean, everybody looks at us now and they think that we're all about healing. And I mean, it is a very massive focus for us. But ultimately, it's really coming down to our union and identity with Christ. That is the foundation of everything that we preach. And healing is a byproduct of that. But we are definitely trying to fix this healing thing because we've just gotten healing jacked up in the body of Christ. And that's one thing I feel like, that's the major thing I feel like, that's the major thing that I know that we here at this ministry, we are to fix and get it figured out. I'm not saying we've got it all figured out yet, but I'm telling you right now, you mark my words, we are going to get this thing figured out. And before I'm out of here, before Jesus comes, before I'm gone, we will have this thing looking just like Jesus. I'm telling you, we're going to get it looking just like Him. So what it comes down to is that this greater glory, these greater anointings, it's already available. The power, the grace that we need, it's already available. Now, it's obvious we're not walking in it. I'm not saying that I am, because I haven't gotten my results to match up completely 100% to look like Jesus. Now, there's been services, especially over the last few years, we've seen more and more of them where everyone that was in the service, and I'm not exaggerating, everyone that was in the service that had something physically going on that you could see, that could be felt, touched, walked out healed. Now, I can't go on the record and say everyone that had something internally, because you can't prove those in the services. You know, those type of things, you would have to have some type of medical scan or x-ray, ultrasound, something to prove those things. But everyone who had something external, we've seen many, many, many times in those services, everyone walked out healed. And yet I will admit, there's been plenty of times that people have come over the years, they've come for healing, and some of those individuals, they didn't walk out healed. And some of those individuals, I personally laid hands on them, releasing the life of God. And for whatever reason, there was a disconnect. There wasn't a connect. There wasn't a connection of the power of God flowing. And so it would leave me asking questions and pursuing things and endeavoring to get things figured out. In some of those situations, we did get it figured out. But ultimately, what I'm getting at is that, hey, I'm not there yet either. But I know there's more available. But I also understand God is not withholding. It's not like this Easter egg hunt where God has hidden the eggs so well that I can't find them. No, in all actuality, He's made everything available for me. I just need to access it. It's already available. We have to grow in our revelation and we have to grow in our hunger. So John chapter 5, verse 19 through 20, Jesus said, I speak to you eternal truth. The Son is able to do anything from Himself or through His own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same works as His Father. Because the Father loves His Son so much, He will always reveal to Him everything that He is about to do. And you will be amazed when he shows them even greater works than these, just so you can marvel. It's interesting that Jesus reveals to us here, he was having to renew his mind just like us. I know that comes as a shock to some people, but think about it. Jesus was doing life as a man. He's doing life with a brain like us, a body like us. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost and with power. Well, God doesn't need to be anointed, but a man does. Luke chapter 2 tells us that the child Jesus grew not only in stature, but also in wisdom. Jesus was growing not only physically, he was also growing in wisdom and understanding of things. Well, God doesn't grow in wisdom, but a man does. Jesus was seeing and hearing from the Father things he had never seen before. And it shows us here the hunger in Jesus and the revelation that Jesus was receiving so that Jesus could in turn turn around and give that revelation and manifestation to other people and to us. But there's got to be a hunger there. There's got to be a humbling of ourselves to realize, hey, number one, I don't know it all. Number two, I know there's more. Number three, I know God is not withholding it from me. So that means I need to hunger and pursue and press after these things so that I could, in one sense say, so that I could level up and access another degree of glory, access another degree of the anointing. In this time right now, it's the beginning of a brand new year, and you hear a lot of people talking about vision. I guarantee you there's going to be lots of churches all over the world that this month will be talking about vision. It's an important subject, and the scripture that most people will use is found in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. Very familiar scripture. It says, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it." But have you ever read verse 1? I want to read this in context, and I want you to see what happens before God says, "Write the vision, make it plain." Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected." And then the Lord answered and said, "Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie." I want you to notice that writing the vision started off with setting myself to see and to hear. Write the vision, make it plain. But how do you write the vision? Well, you have to set yourself, put yourself in a position with expectation to see and to hear from God. When you stop hungering, that's when you stop growing, and that's when you start dying. This is why most Christian denominations and groups start to wane after about 20 to 40 years. It starts off with a very pure, great, tremendous revelation from the Lord, but as that group begins to run its course, they stop hungering and they stop growing. They start thinking that I've got it all together. This is the message. This is the message. We've got it all together. And then you get to a point where it stops producing and in many cases starts turning to works. We get into a bubble and think, we've got the message, this is it. And then we stop growing and we stop pressing. And you know what happens? Eventually, a group, and it's usually a group of younger people, a group of younger people begin to rise up and say, this is it? This is all that there is to Christianity? There's got to be more. And that younger group begins to push and they begin to press. And you know what happens? Revelation comes. And it sparks a move of God. You can see this all throughout church history, especially over the last like 150 years. It's very evident. It's very plain. This is the cycle that we have been going through. And it's not been God that's been stopping the move. It's been man stopping the moves. But it is time for us to level up and continue to level up, not go from one degree of glory to another, but go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory until we look and act and get results exactly like Jesus. The moment you think you have it all figured out is the moment that you just became a fool. That's just blunt, but it's true. The moment you get to the point you think you all have it figured out, that is the moment that the blinking red sign begins to declare you're dumb, you're an idiot, you're a fool, because we haven't gotten it all figured out yet if our results aren't looking like Jesus. The moment our results are looking exactly like Jesus, That is the point when we can say, hey, we have arrived. We've gotten this thing figured out. Yes, there is more revelation always to come. But friend, Jesus is the standard. He is the way. And our results, especially in the area of healing, they are to look exactly like Him. Exactly like Him. So what I want to do is I want to give you 7 practical steps to leveling up. I mean, Jesus believed there was more. And if Jesus believed there was more, by God, you and I need to believe that there's more too. And we need to access this stuff. So I want to give you 7 practical steps to level up so that you and I can walk in a greater degree of glory and then go to another degree and another degree and another degree. Number one, you need to read your Bible to hear. Not read your Bible to read. Read it to hear. Realize that there's more to your Bible than just ink on paper. There is a person, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who inspired men with these words to write these things down. There is a person. There is a God that's behind the Word, who spoke that Word, that will give you revelation of that Word as you read it. So when you read your Bible, there's nothing wrong with sitting down to intentionally read 5 chapters, but friend, you could just sit down and read 5 chapters and not even remember what you read is 5 minutes after you get up. No, we need to read to hear. So when I sit down to read my Bible, I'm sitting down to hear from God. And that's the second thing you need to do, that when you sit down to read or when you go into your time of prayer, you need to have a journal with you. You need to have some paper, a pen, pencil, something, or you know, your phone if you're taking notes on your phone or tablet. I go into those times with an expectation. And so the first thing you need to do is read your Bible to hear. Secondly, keep a journal because that puts you in a place of expectation to hear. And I not only write down what I hear, but it also allows me to keep track of my progress. Why? Because I am expecting to grow. I can tell you right now, I'm not being arrogant by this. I'm not being inflated in my thinking. I'm just telling you a fact. I am more hungry right now, spiritually, than I've ever been before. The closest that I can think of, and it would be a very, very close second, was when I was attending Bible school almost 20 years ago. I remember during those 2 years, I was so excited. I was like a sponge, just soaking up every single thing that I could get in class and in church. I was so excited when they brought our bag of books for the first day. It was like I walked into a toy store and was given, you know, a couple of $100 just to go on a shopping spree. I was so excited about those books. And there was no problem of me reading those books for my assignments. I wanted to read because I was so hungry. And yet I am in that place today, and even more so, because I've been so privileged to see so many wonderful moves and manifestations of God over the years in my personal life and in our ministry. And it's just made me hungry because I know there's more. I want it for me, and yet I want it for you. I want it for people who have never known Jesus as their Savior. I know that God is depending on us to walk in greater degrees of glory, greater degrees of the anointing, not because He's withholding it, but because it's available and accessible right now. He needs us to walk in that so that the world will know that He sent Jesus. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 17. The third thing that we need to do, and we might spend some time on this one, in our next podcast. But the third thing we need to do is we need to spend time becoming more conscious that we are a spirit. Many of us have a decent understanding that we are a spirit being, that we have a soul and we live in a body. But in reality, we've just kind of been on the surface with it. Intellectually, we know that we're a spirit, but I don't think we've really delved into it like we should. And I've been spending a lot of time the last half of last year just meditating on this whole reality about spirit, soul, and body, and learning to become more conscious of me as a spirit being. Why is that? Well, you can't access what you're not aware of. If you're not aware and conscious of your spirit, of you as a spirit, it's going to be very hard for you to access spiritual things. I mean, that's just common sense. Most of us are very flesh conscious, body conscious, and that's why we look to earthly things for answers. But if every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been made available to us, how am I going to access that when I'm not even conscious that I'm a spirit? It is what it is. So very quickly, number one, we need to read our Bible to hear. Number two, keep a journal. Number three, spend time becoming more conscious. Number three, spend time becoming more conscious that you're a spirit. Number four, you need to fast regularly. I know we don't like this. We like our food. But this not only helps you become more conscious of your spirit, but it will also help you to become more spirit-ruled. It will help you to get your body in check and help you to become more sensitive to spiritual things. We need to work on that. And it's something I'd spent more time fasting last year than I ever have in any other year. And I'm doing more of it because I've seen the results of it. Number six, spend time using your imagination. Look at what our current church society calls limits. And then I challenge you in your soul, blow those walls down and run through them. Spend time using your imagination. See yourself laying hands on the sick and people getting out of wheelchairs. See yourself laying hands on the sick and the blind and deaf being healed. See yourself laying hands on those who have genetic diseases and those people being healed. It's time that we start seeing people with Down syndrome healed. It's time we start seeing people that have lost limbs, arms, legs, body parts, that those things begin to grow back. It's that time. It is time for the church to begin to go after those things, to see those things happening as normal. The last thing I want to mention to you is this. You need to ask questions from those that are getting more results from you. This requires humility, but I'm telling you, I'm asking more questions today than I've been asking ever before. I'm hanging out and trying to find people who have more experience than me, and not just more experience, more results. I want fruit. I don't care what denomination they're a part of. I don't care what religious circle. None of that makes any difference to me at all. I could care less about that. I want fruit. I want results. And so I'm actively searching for those who might possibly have an answer for me in some areas. And then number seven, you need to be willing to ask the hard questions. This, to me, I don't understand when I look around at our current church society. I don't understand why we're not willing to ask the hard questions. The only area I see this happening is in church growth. And I do understand it because obviously we want to see our churches grow, and it's about people and about influence and money. But that's the only area in our Christendom that I see people being willing to ask the hard questions. Well, why aren't we willing to ask the hard questions when it comes to healing and miracles? We're just shoving that type of stuff under the rug and acting like everything is okay when we know that it's not. We have to be willing to ask the hard questions. We have to be willing to go against the current flow of society and, unfortunately, the current flow of the church and say, hey, some of these things aren't working. Some of these things, they're the furthest thing removed from looking like Jesus. We've got to fix some of this. How do you fix it? You have to humble yourself and say, hey, this isn't working. What do we need to do? How do we fix this? We don't need to go from glory to glory every 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We should be doing this every day, every month. We should be seeing a change every year. Let's don't go from just glory to glory just this year. Let's keep going and keep progressing. Keep leveling up. 6 months from now, you should be able to look back and see that you've progressed spiritually. 1 year from now, you should be able to look into your journal and see the things that you saw and heard from God in your time of prayer and your time of study, and be amazed at the revelation that you've gotten and the degrees of glory that you're now walking in. Friend, let's level up this year and let's manifest Jesus like we have never manifested Jesus before. Hey, if you are a partner with Chad Gonzalez Ministries, thank you so very much for being a part of the Dream Team. If you're not, we would love to have you join the team. You can simply go to chadgonzalez.com and click on the partner link and become a Dream Team member today and help us in taking this message literally all around the world. Also, again, check our ministry schedule. We would love to have you come out and join us in person. We'd love to be able to say hello, meet you, shake your hand, give you a hug, and have you be a part of what we are doing and what God is doing through all of us. Remember that in Christ, we always win. We love you. We appreciate you, all that you're doing, your prayers and support. God bless you. We'll talk to you next month on another episode of the Supernatural Life Podcast.